This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour of the show is being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time to bring in, from the great Midwest, Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome. Always a pleasure.
As always, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Tough week with the T-Wolves, man.
Yeah, that ended in very, very Minnesota-like fashion. I don't want to spread conspiracy theories, but if it came out down the line, certain players on that team were paid to not win. It wouldn't surprise me. It was terrible. I mean, they looked awful in all four losses. I didn't even watch the end of it. I got through maybe 3 minutes in the second quarter of Game 5. I'm like, I've had enough. That's it. They don't have it. It's just not their year, not the team. And, you credit Dallas like everybody would. They played really well. They did exactly what they needed to do, and Minnesota didn't have an answer at all. Really showed which team belonged there and which team didn't, unfortunately.
All right, so let's take a look at the coaching profession for a moment. The NBA is one of those that seems to make guys disposable. I mean, Frank Vogel goes to Phoenix. 1 year later, he's gone. Mike Budenholzer won an NBA title. Milwaukee, gone. Now he's with Phoenix. J.B. Bickerstaff, former T-Wolf, by the way, out in Cleveland despite getting them to the second round. What is it about the NFL where a Kevin O'Connell has been going along and seems to have decent job security with the Vikings? Mike Tomlin is a story unto himself. But it seems like NFL coaches seem to keep their jobs longer. Why?
If I were to venture a guess, I think it's because the NFL, though perhaps in the NBA, it's more of a, I can hear coaches screaming at me already, but it truly is more of a team sport. And I don't mean that basketball is not a team game. It is. It's just with the NFL, there is considerably more players, and it's far more strategic. It's not as fluid a game as basketball is. With that, it takes time to get everything together. In the NBA, in particular, if you have a superstar player, you need to win immediately. You need to show results immediately. And it makes sense because, as we've seen time and time again, and we'll see it, probably on clear example next year when San Antonio improves by 15 games and Wembanyama is the MVP, one player changes the direction of everything. So they're more focused on that. The coach, it seems as if their attitude is he can cost them games more than he can win them games. Now, personally, I would argue a guy like Eric Spoelstra has done a phenomenal job in Miami over the years, sticking with a general philosophy of what they want to do, adapting to what they need to do. When you get a guy like that, obviously, I don't think, nobody needs to pull out Greg Popovich's resume. Guys like that can be foundational pieces, but if you're not that, it seems like on to the next one as quickly as possible. I think Budenholzer is a great example. I don't know how you win a championship game and get fired a season and a half later with largely the same teams in place, but that's the power of your superstar player. It's more important than the coach. I don't know how many stories you've read this offseason about, sources or LeBron himself saying he's not involved in the Lakers head coaching decision.
Right.
That's how assumed of a position that is. He may as well be the general manager in a lot of ways. I'm sure that's not literally the case, but you're not making moves without LeBron weighing in on it. That's insane. There's no point in even bothering to do that. With the power that they have, and LeBron, his generation, I think, brought a lot of that out. The players saying, I have value here. This is, you know, we're building this up. This is what I need to be successful. If you want to pay me and you want me to be here, this is the way we should do it. Otherwise, I'm going to go somewhere else. And I understand that that's kind of an antagonistic perspective, and fans don't like that. But by and large, that's the sway an NBA player has because the game is so much smaller than the NFL. With the NFL, lots of different ways to win, lots of different strategies to impose, lots of different angles in which a coach can exert his influence on the direction overall of the team. I think it's interesting that you brought up O'Connell, because I've been saying this all offseason. I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is a great NFL quarterback for 32 teams. I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be an excellent quarterback for Kevin O'Connell. For what O'Connell does, they pair together very well. And because of that, I think now O'Connell has great job security. And I would say that's another, you know, kind of feather in the cap. It seems to be more of the case in a weird way in the NFL than it does in the NBA, because the NBA is much more star-driven. It's much more the player on his own. The coach isn't working with him. But in the NFL, there really seems to be something with the head coach and the quarterback. You've got to have that bond together, and that's really what you're building. And, you know, I think we've discussed this previously, but the biggest thing in the NFL is making the playoffs. I understand everybody wants to win a Super Bowl every year, but clearly that's next to impossible to do. It's hard enough to repeat, let alone win, you know, six straight titles. The teams, though, that make the playoffs the most often are the teams that, understandably, are contending for a Super Bowl the most often. And the teams that are able to do that are the ones that have usually outstanding quarterback play and a coach who's been in place for a while, typically overseeing the development of that quarterback. So I think that's the matchup teams want to find. And when they don't have it, the coach goes. If they do, though, the coach is going to get rope, you know, and literally maybe 2 minutes before I got on with you here, I was talking with a Cowboys fan, a friend of mine, about Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy. That's right. Not a match made in heaven, you know.
No.
There are all kinds of, the argument I was making was there's a financial reason that Mike McCarthy is in Dallas right now, and it's because they don't. Jerry Jones probably can't pay two head coaches this season because he has to pay the three highest paid positions on the field. He's got to pay his edge rusher, he's got to pay his receiver, and he's got to pay his quarterback, and all three of them are highly accomplished. Of them are among probably the three best at their positions in the game. They're going to get top of market money. Navigating that is really hard. So if you were going to get rid of Mike McCarthy, it would have been last year, except you don't have to buy him out if you let him go a season while you're trying to figure out how to pay CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and then extend Dak Prescott on top of that. It's a financial issue, I think, in the NFL more than anything. You know, coaches can be more expensive to buy out. I don't have their contracts in front of me. I've just always gotten that sense that in the NBA they're not going to get quite as much top to bottom as most NFL coaches are. And the NFL coaches that come in typically are coaching the worst teams. The new coaches are taking over the bad teams. The ones that are getting the young prospect have very young and usually very unsuccessful teams from the year before. So you're having to pay more for those coaches, whereas in the NBA, you're taking over the Phoenix Suns, you're taking over the Cleveland Cavaliers. These are teams that have the pieces in place to compete. You can, you know, kind of drive the price down a little bit if that's the case, because it's a great opportunity for the coach to come in and do one thing right and have the team succeed, and you've got that job security. In the NFL, I think that they have to work up a bit more often. All of that, I'm sure, can be disputed by somebody else. It just seems, at 10,000-foot level, that's what the NFL probably has more so on the NBA.
Two big contract signings. We'll start with Justin Jefferson with the Minnesota Vikings. Is this something that the Vikings felt they had to do, especially considering where they are right now as an offense?
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at it like this. Contracts are not negotiated against the player's ability nearly as much as they're negotiated against the market. Mm-hmm. The wide receiver market has had more entry points into it over the last season than even the quarterbacks have. So what we're seeing now economically in the NFL is the fact that the wide receiver position is now at the point where the next guy up is going to get the top of the market deal. Now, I'll say that and admit that if CeeDee Lamb and or Ja'Marr Chase sign tomorrow, right, they're probably not getting more than Justin Jefferson. But right, relatively speaking, to Joe Sweatsock, looking at everything else, they're more or less making the same money. They'll probably fight over a few pennies here and there, and this escalator and that guarantee, but by and large, Jefferson set the market right now for that upper, the top, the best of the best guys. That's the price now for the next guys to come. And next year, whoever it is, I don't have that offhand, but they're going to be negotiating with Jefferson's contract as a base. That's because that position is that valuable. For the Vikings, they have... I'll present it like this. They have the blessing of having a guy like Justin Jefferson on their team, which is, in my opinion, one of the best wide receivers mm-hmm. in the last 15, 20 years.
Sure.
He's that talented. But also the curse of not paying their quarterback. That right. drives the price up even more.
Huge.
And that,
huge.
In a sense, is kind of the artificial market that is the NFL as far as bargaining and negotiation goes. They're arguing against the cap. What they're saying is you're not paying an offensive player of extreme value right now at all. I don't think anyway. There's nobody on that team that's making top of market money, and they're not going to pay a quarterback for at least four seasons. I think Sam Darnold is the highest paid offensive player they have. Christian Darrisaw is up for an extension as well, but I don't think Jefferson's agent's concerned with the deal that Darrisaw is going to get. He's more looking to get his client paid. This is the price of other receivers, none of whom have the stats of my client. This is your financial position. This is what you have cap-wise. This is what we're assuming you have cash-wise. This is the type of deal that you want to make. I, to be honest, I don't think it was even all that much of a negotiation. I think they knew with plus or minus 2-4% where he was going to land. And it makes sense. I predicted 4-for-145 for Jefferson. He got 4-for-40 or 140. He should have hired me. I would have gotten him that extra $5 million. Right. The market shows this is what he's worth. So that's what his deal is going to be. Not every position gets that leverage, but quarterback does. And now I think this deal really solidifies it for wide receivers. That's what it's going to be. And I think you'll probably see CeeDee Lamb and or Ja'Marr Chase sign within the next couple days. Whenever they don't want to miss minicamp. If they're holding out for that, they're going to pay for it, so they don't want to miss minicamp. Now the deal is set. There's not really much of an excuse for either one of them to not get extension signed for either side. He should be in camp. Neither of you are on the level that Jefferson mm-hmm. is at, if you want to look at it like that. You should be right around that mark, and you're going to waste the money that you're trying to fight for in your contract by missing minicamp and then missing training camp. So you may as well you may as well sign the deal that's there. And the team also can't argue against the numbers as established by the Jefferson deal. So both of those should be done, I would think, sooner rather than later. And it's really not much of a negotiation anymore.
So now let's go to the other part. You talked about one of the keys, and you're so right about this. They have their starting quarterback on a rookie contract. So now let's go to the West Coast, because Brock Purdy is still on his rookie contract, and today they extended Christian McCaffrey. Same concept?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's from McCaffrey's perspective, that's what their agent is saying. This is the offensive player of the year. You haven't locked him up long term. I don't want to hear about other running backs. I don't want to hear about a decline in the market. You know the value of my guy right now, and you're going to spend this on somebody. So I'm going to negotiate with you based on that. That, I think, is the biggest misunderstanding that people have. Teams are not able to just say, no, we don't want to pay you this because we don't think it's worth it. If the guy, if Christian McCaffrey is healthy, he's ready to play, his value is really based more on the team's financial position than it is his overall ability. And either way, though, you're talking about the offensive player of the year. That's not to say he's the most valuable, because I don't think that he is, but he does a lot of things for that offense. They can't really not have him. come May. You know, they need to have him in there. They need to extend him. They have leverage over the 49ers. And the deal they got, I don't, it's not a significant amount more than what he's been signed for. So to be honest, it's a no-brainer if you feel that he's in shape and he's one of those guys that dedicates 110% to his body 24/7, 365. So you know that he's going to be up for it. Injuries are a part of the game, and it's unfortunate. But to the degree of your goal of putting the best team on the field as possible, McCaffrey has to be a part of that. If that means that you're going to spend a little bit above market, you're going to put a premium on it because they've kind of got you over the barrel, the fact that you're paying Brock Purdy $25 an hour, so be it. You're going to have to spend the money. You know, that's the reality of the NFL. You can't sit way below the salary cap for very long. Somebody's going to make you pay, and you're going to eventually have to pay over market to get any player in just to put a team on the field. I know there are examples of a team one, maybe 2 years where they're $40 million under the cap. That'll end quickly. I'd cite the Cincinnati Bengals, who are now all of a sudden probably the cash poorest team in the league because they just had to pay Burrow, $100 million over the last year. And Chase is going to cost them a fortune as well. Those are one-year expenditures that probably make up 60% of their spending. That's their expense right there. So when you have that much cap space, the presumption is you've saved the cash to be able to pay these players in their first and second years of these big extensions. And at some point, you're going to get players that are just going to be players that you have to pay at or above market. I think that's where the Vikings landed with Jefferson.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is in terms of doling out the money, because a lot of it does have to do with your quarterback. And any time that 12% or better of your cap goes to the quarterback, believe it or not, it doesn't help your pathway to winning. It keeps you relevant, but your pathway to winning, because you've put so much money into one player that you can't put other players around him. And that's something that history shows. I mean, the numbers are right there.
Yep, that's. I feel that's true at a 10,000-foot level. It's true 12 months out of the year, with the exception of those 3.5 hours on Sundays that you play.
Yep,
and I would cite the Chiefs beating the 49ers last season. The expensive quarterback beat the guy with a minuscule contract. You know, right. Oddly enough, probably still second only to still in front of Russell Wilson as far as the lowest paid player by his team at the starting quarterback position in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's a benefit for sure, but it's not the equation. It's not everything. You still need to make good moves. You know, you still need to use that money to the best of your ability. Sometimes that means not signing. Sometimes that means, you know, threatening to lose a guy like Brandon Ayuk, which kind of seems like that's where San Francisco is going. Mm-hmm. Instead, they give money to Jennings. Might be a better player for them for what they're trying to do. They don't want to pay a massively inflating wide receiver market to Ayuk right now. And they're not going to be able to pay him next year either when that market's even bigger, and he hits free agency anyway. So it makes more sense. Take some money, put it into the running back that is, you know, a team leader, obviously a highly productive player, and then on top of it, a good rising young three-down receiver like Jennings. You know, that's kind of how you have to manage it. But the thing that people don't seem to understand is agents are negotiating against you when you have that.
They're negotiating against
the fact that you're not paying the quarterback. So it's not like you're saving anything. They all want to get paid more if you're not paying the quarterback. You don't have the excuse, well, I got to pay Dak Prescott $40 million this year. I don't have it to pay your client anymore. That argument goes away. They all want more. So it becomes a different kind of challenge. And in my opinion, a lot of people say, you know, logically it makes sense. You don't have to pay the quarterback that much. Well, that means you have to overpay for a lot of other guys. So is that worth it? Do you have the right guys to be able to do that with? It's just, it's not an even market. It's not apples to apples. And financially, agents are going to make the NFL pay. The system is designed for that exactly. That's why the salary cap increases with revenue. You have to pay more of it to the players. the more money the league brings in. So in the end, it takes the right combination of basically everything. You need to have the right head coach, the right general manager. You need to have a quarterback. You have to have a defense that can get stops in situational play. You need to be able to play well on the road. You need to be able to sign the right free agents at the right price, and you need to manage your cap well. That doesn't mean spending right to the cap, and it doesn't mean saving $40 million every year. It means bringing in the right team year to year if you want to put together a team that in a three-year window can compete for a Super Bowl in that time. Not an easy thing to do, but typically the teams that do it are the ones that have good quarterbacks. How much they get paid, I really don't think is in the grand scheme is as relevant as having the right combination of everything else. Part of that, obviously, is the quarterback and the financials.
Well, we've always been able to put together the right team here because we brought you in years ago. Sir, as always, thank you with great gratitude.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.